Okay, thanks. I would like to start by thanking the organizers of the program and the coordinators of this conference for putting all this together and for inviting me to talk about it, about my work on it. So I also want to thank my collaborators, in particular the more junior ones that did the work that I'm going to be showing you. So Ehsan Hatami is a postdoc at Georgetown University, and he essentially did all the work on the non-integrable system I'm going to be showing you. And then Christian Gransch is a graduate student at Augsburg, and he spent like part of the spring semester at Georgetown, and then he did the work on the integral system. And then all the other collaborators that I have had in the recent years on related works and the support of ONR and NSF. So I'm going to be talking about non-equilibrium dynamics of isolating quantum systems and in relation to thermalization. So you may imagine that this is an old subject because of its relation to foundations of statistical mechanics. As a matter of fact, von Neumann already was thinking about this in 29, where he wrote this paper where he claimed that he's proven like a ergodic hypothesis for quantum system. Okay, so then, he claimed. I think that's, but in any case, so let me just go and tell you that criticism of this proof started in 57, and this was somehow forgotten, but 57 was the year that von Neumann died. So he never had the chance to reply to those criticisms. So in any case, so this work has now been rediscovered and because of its relation to recent ideas of typicality and eigenstate thermalization. So early in the the early years of quantum mechanics, there were no computers available to just do some numeric experiments. Computers became available after the Second World War, and interestingly enough, one of the first numerical experiments set up by Fermi, Pasta-Ulang, and Singal was really to check the ergodic hypothesis for harmonic oscillator when you add some nonlinear coupling. And most of you know that they found something unexpected. They saw quasi-periodic behavior and lack of ergodicity, and a lot of people started working on related problems, checking that were not Poincaré recurrences. And then they realized that this was this problem was related to the KdV equations and that solitons were important. And then came dynamical chaos and in relation to ergodicity and KM theorem. So essentially, this probably triggered what led to the modern approach of statistical mechanics. So experiments, and that was classical, experiments have become available and actually to check what happens in the quantum regime more recently. So for the purpose of this talk, maybe I'm going to restrict to to experiments on one-dimensional systems, and then nowadays they are created either with two-dimensional lattices or with atom chips, as you heard yesterday. And the nice thing about these experiments is they are very well isolated, and they can control essentially at very low temperature. One can write the interaction in this way, and they can control this interaction strength by changing the three-dimensional scattering length that they can do with Feldspar resonance and the transfer confinement in these tubes. So one nice thing here is that this can be made very large. For example, and bosons, they could be behave in real space if they were fermions, and this is a model that was introduced in the 60s by Girardot. It's an integrable model, and we are going to be discussing what integrability has to do with all this discussion. And this was realized in the group of David Weiss at Penn State, where they get this effective gamma. So you see that depends on the interaction parameter and the density. One can also add a lattice along the longitudinal direction where these bosons are confined, and then if the interaction stress is very strong, this can be a realization of another model that was introduced in the early 60s, which is this XXE model by Lipschutz and Maddis, and that was done in the group of Immanuel Bloch in Munich. And these are the effective gammas that one can get there. So now, once you have these systems, then essentially, once experimentalists have realized these models, then they can play games that are very hard for our theories, as you heard yesterday from Jens' talk. And one can take the system out of equilibrium. And that's what David Weiss did in this work here. Essentially, he took the system out of equilibrium, these one-dimensional Bose gases, and let them evolve and see what happens after a long time. And one can then change this gamma parameter I was telling you, And this is the kind of momentum distribution functions that David saw after some time. Now, in a harmonic trap, you immediately realize that this kind of distribution is non-thermal, okay? Because you expect to have something that is like inverted Gaussian or something like that. And this was seen for essentially all parameters that he studied. Even for the weakest interactions that he could simulate, this is what you expect from the thermal distribution, and this is what he got. So essentially, this is like a warning that, you know, you have these systems and you can do things to them, and then they are not going to relax to what we expect in statistical mechanics. So essentially, and this is essentially for very large gamma, this is an integrable system. And then for other gammas, one can say, like, well, maybe this is close to integrability, and conserved quantities are playing a role here. Okay? So, and then you heard the talk yesterday about the result of the group of York. Okay? So now there are other experiments. One can take a lattice and then do play some games, like start with some initial state. You also saw about these results yesterday, and essentially study the dynamics. So since you saw this, I just want to emphasize that in the experiments, and I think that one can probe like local observables, like these densities in specific sites, and one can also look at the momentum distribution function, which is the Fourier transform of one particle correlation, so one can also look at these non-local observables. So now the question is, why is it that you know, something funny may happen when you have these quantum systems? And what is it that experimentalists are doing, or ideally, how we think of what they are doing? Essentially, what we can think of this as, they are starting with some initial state that is not an eigenstate of the model Hamiltonian that is gonna be doing the dynamics, right? And the system is isolated, so the energy is gonna be conserved. So now, experimentalists are looking at some observable. They're not looking at the wave function, and the observable, you can, you know, calculate it at different times by this expression, where this is really the unitary evolution of the initial state. And now comes the question, in this system that is evolving in a unitary way, so what is it that we're going to call thermalization, right? So, and for that, we're going to focus on observables. And then we're going to say, well, this system thermalizes if you can describe the time average of the observable after relaxation by some sample of statistical mechanics. And there will be an additional requirement, is that the fluctuations about that average are small, and that will relate to some other things we're gonna see afterwards. Now, what is the problem with that? So, during initial state, you can write it as a combination of states in the finite eigenstate of finite Hamiltonian, plug this in here, and then you get this expression, right? Now, these systems are going to be, in general, finite, and then you may calculate what is the infinite time average of the observable. This is what is written in here. And if there are no degeneracies, which is what you expect for generic quantum systems with level repulsion, so essentially, you are going to get this result here. And this is what we call the diagonal ensemble. And this is essentially what Jens was calling yesterday the GGE. So there is a bit of a difference, because the GGE I'm going to introduce later is different. Okay, but now the question is this one, right? How can this be equal to this, right? To start with, DC alphas, a priori you could say this could be in the whole spectrum, right? While we know that for thermal ensembles, the energy width goes to zero, and it's really about the energy, the mean energy of the system, okay? So that's why we need to be a bit more restrictive. And that's where quantum quenches help a bit to reduce the, you know, number of possibilities that you have for DC alphas. So essentially, this quantum quench story that you've been hearing about, the idea is that one starts with some initial state that is an eigenstate, it may be the ground state of some initial Hamiltonian. And then at t equals zero, the evolution is done under a different Hamiltonian, this Hamiltonian H here, which could be the initial one plus some local term. So essentially, this W here, I'm saying that is a sum of local operators. They don't have to be on site. They could be some over different sites, but finite. Okay, so now the interesting thing about this is that once you assume this, you can go through a simple calculation and compute what the energy width is gonna be. Is defined here, and then through some simple algebra, if there are no long-range correlation in the initial state, you get this expression for the energy width. Now, we know that the energy width of the full spectrum, it diverges with the volume of the system. So the relative width between this and the entire spectrum essentially is going to go to zero as 1/d expression. So if you have a global quench, which is the thing that we usually do, this sigma is dl, so it's going to be 1/√ of the volume, right? And that's good, because at least that is going to be similar to what we have in statistical mechanics. Okay, but still, these C alphas here can fluctuate wildly. So we're just saying that the width goes to zero in the thermodynamic limit, but they can be doing anything that they want. Okay. So any question up to that point about the terminology that we are going to be using? The width of the Fourier spectrum is diverged with the volume, right? Wait, is the full? Oh, I mean, we are all always thinking about, you know, lattice systems and like finite systems. Right? So yeah, so these are our finite systems and they are lattice systems. Right? That would be a way to see, but this is really the many-body spectrum. Okay. Okay, good. So then we can do some like numeric experiments. And essentially, in my group, we've been focusing on this kind of Hamiltonians in 1D. So this could be hardcore bosons or fermions, and this will have like nearest neighbor interactions and Hopping, next nearest neighbor interaction and Hopping. These are the kind of terms that break integrability, and some local chemical potential. Right? Right.
Operators. You didn't say which operators.
Right. Right.
Is that yet formulated precisely?
Well, I mean, these are like somehow few body observable. Right. Right. So.
Somehow.
Right. Yeah. Somehow. It's not right. This is. Yeah. That's probably. Yeah. The energy is right. It's the sum of few body things. Right. Like it's Hoppings and interactions. Right. So, but yeah, that's probably not, you know, it will also depend on the system. But it's some few body observable, right? So we know definitely that if you have a many body observable as the projection operator to the eigenstate of the Hamiltonian, that's not going to thermalize, right? This is this C alpha there, and that's given by the initial state. Okay? But yeah, that's an important point that, you know, I still didn't tell you what the observables are. But then what I'm going to be doing is this kind of numerical experiments for the observables that are, you know, essentially measuring the experiments, like momentum distribution functions, like densities, structure factor, and this kind of thing. So this is the kind of results that you get. So if you take a look at non-integrable systems, so essentially this model where this T prime, B prime are large, you have some initial state, and then you can compute, this is done by full hexagonalization, you can compute the entire spectrum, can compute the infinite time average, and what you find is that really the infinite time average is very well described by statistical mechanics. And you see some difference here. The other thing that we can see is that this difference will decrease as you increase system size. Okay? Now, you can go to the integrable case, and these results here are a quench for some kind of Gedanken experiment, the kind of experiment that probably Dave is going to be talking in his talk, is essentially you start with a box with hardcore bosons there and open it into a bigger box, okay, and see what happens. And this result here is what you get after relaxation, and this other result is the thermal prediction. So you see that the system, essentially that observable, doesn't relax to the thermal prediction, but you can then cook up a different ensemble, this GGE, which will essentially take into account the fact that the system is integrable. And now the number of conserved quantities that we are going to take in that new ensemble grows linearly with system size, as opposed to exponentially with all these projection operators. And these conserved quantities are essentially going to be either local or like additive in some sense that we can discuss later. But now, how do we understand that this is happening here and that is failing in the integrable case, but this GGE is working? Right? And our current understanding of that is goes through this eigenstate thermalization was proposed by Dodge and Mark that is here, and this is just part of it. So, and the idea here is that eigenstates that are very close in energy have very similar expectation value, actually exponentially similar in the size of your Hilbert, in the size of your system. They are very similar to the ensemble average. Now, this will ensure about what you will get about this time average. You also need the off-diagonal elements to be small for having a small fluctuation, but I'm not going to go into those details there. So we can then look at what is actually happening in this system that I was telling you, and this is a case, a two-dimensional system. And this, what is shown here, is the expectation value of the momentum, the occupation of the zero momentum mode, as a function of the energy for the entire spectrum, okay? So, and essentially what you see is that at very low energies, there are some large fluctuation, but after, for higher energy or effective temperatures, this is gonna become very narrow. And this, we can see that the width, it decreases with when you increase system size. Now, if you go to the integrable case, what you see is that this is not valid anymore. So this is a much larger system. There are gazillions of states here. And what you see is that the observable is really fluctuating wildly in the entire energy spectrum. But then, if you take now the observables within this reduced generalized window that contains all this, that takes into account all the conserved quantities, this GGE, then you get back to this something that is very narrow. And we can also do scaling and check that the width goes to zero with increasing system size. So essentially, you have some kind of generalized eigenstate thermalization in the integrable case once you take into account all these somehow local or additive conserved quantities. Okay. Now, there is one final thing that I want to tell you that is very interesting here, and is the fact that the entropy of this generalized ensemble is additive, okay? It grows with system size, so the number of states here is exponentially large, okay? But this entropy is macroscopically different from the entropy of the standard ensemble. So what this is telling you is that even though this is exponentially large in system size, it's exponentially smaller than all the states that you have in this window. And that's why essentially all these typicality arguments are gonna fail, because you are not sampling really a large portion of the states that you have in your microcanonical way. Okay, so that was a question.
The system is
large
enough that you can run
into the format. Right, that is important, yeah, that's true, right. Right, that's, I'm keeping that. If one starts with non-integral, then there's a different story.
Okay. N.
Right. So the prefactor is order N. Right. That is a very like interesting thing. So okay. In any case, yeah. If that's, well, I mean, that will have to do with the fact that you have all these extra conserved quantities. Right. That constant. Well, I mean, you see all the right. No, okay, but you have, one has to be careful with that, because if you have just, suppose that you say, I want to have exactly these conserved quantities, you get one state. So, and now you are fluctuating about it. Yeah. So yeah, that is something that probably one has to think well. And there are other tricky issues with the diagonal and so on. But in any case, so I'm trying to get through the introduction. So now what I'm trying to do is really to see what happens if you have disorder, okay? Because disorder, we always think, oh, it's gonna, like, you know, thermalization is not gonna occur, so probably eigenstate thermalization is gonna fail. And these are some of the questions that we are gonna address. So first we wanna see how is the relaxation dynamics. So will observables fail to equilibrate? By now equilibration, what we mean is that after some long time, whether the observable is whether, you know, there will be some bound with respect to the infinite time average. And if the observable equilibrates, so essentially if this is equal to this, then we want to see whether one can describe them by some statistical ensemble. Okay, so now let's take a look at at the result. So the model, so some those of you that have tried to deal with this many-body localization know that this is a very frustrating issue because you know, you have to deal with exact normalization and the systems are smaller, and then scalings are not very clear. So the model that we chose to study here is this Spindler fermion model, in which we have this non-local hopping. So essentially, it's going to be long range and local interaction. So in a hardcore boson language, this could be like an XXC model with long range J-perp and nearest neighbor JZ. So now, how do we select this hopping? So they are selected from a Gaussian random distribution with zero mean and this width. Now, the reason we did that is because there have been several works on this model for b equal to 0. The properties are essentially independent of beta if beta is greater than 0 and depending on alpha. And this this is what happens for the non-interacting case. So alpha smaller than 1, they are delocalized. Alpha greater, they are localized. Alpha 1, they are is essentially the transition point. Now, the question is, what happens when you put interactions, right? And then you can choose your quantum chaos indicator of the one that you like. We use this ERA, which is the variance of the level spacing distribution, minus the one in the Wigner-Dyson divided by this the Poisson and Wigner-Dyson. So essentially, this is going to be 0 in the localized phase, and it's going to be 1 in the localized phase. And this is what we see. So you now put it in the computer, or Essence puts it in the computer, and then gazillions of disordered realization, and you get these nice plots. As you increase the system size, you see that this becoming sharper. But definitely here is delocalized, here is localized, and in between there are a lot of interesting things that we cannot answer numerically. So now what kind of quench we do? We start with an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian in some disordered realization. We change to another disordered realization. And since we're going to do disordered average, what we're going to keep fixed is the effective temperature of the final state. So the energy has to correspond to this temperature. It's not infinite. And everything is full exact normalization. And so all the results I'm going to be showing you for integral and non-integral are essentially this kind of normalized difference. And this is in the spirit of an experimental error, okay? So we have some momentum distribution, and then we want to say how different the one that we have is from some ensemble. So this is like the error you make by say, like, this is the ensemble result, and then we average over different disorder. So this is a kind of time evolution that you get. And here I'm showing you result for the momentum distribution function. And these are really the difference between the momentum at a given time and the infinite time average, which we have because we have infinite, we have the essentially full diagonalization of the Hamiltonian. And this is for the momentum, and this is for the structure factor. So you see the results are quite similar, so let's focus on the momentum. And this is for two different system sizes. So in the delocalized phase, what we see is that this is what is happening for 15 sites. And this is what is happening for 18 sites. So these differences are going to 0. So essentially, if you give me a bound, I will tell you, OK, you need this system size for the difference between the observable at each time and the infinite time average to be below some bound. So this, we will say that the system essentially equilibrates. We are not telling anything about thermalization. And at the critical point, well, things are slower. And then in the localized phase, it's even slower. So now the question is, how does the infinite time average compare to the thermal prediction? So questions over? This is an average over many disorder realization, right? We are avoiding that some crazy realizations that are there. Well, I mean, if this is the average, most of them are going to do that, and then will be some of them that are going to do weird stuff. So let's see then what happens now if you want to compare this time average with statistical mechanics. Okay, and this is what is shown now. These differences are the difference between the infinite time average and the statistical mechanics prediction for different values of alpha. And this is somehow good news. So it looks like in the delocalized phase, this decreases, so it's kind of going to 0 quickly. And then in the localized phase, you have this that the errors are somehow much larger. And this is like a factor of 10 between them. And the same happens for this structure factor. OK, so I mean, this is just kind of confirming what we expected, that in the delocalized phase, we are going to have thermalization. And in the localized one, there is not going to be thermalization. No, no, all this is interaction. So this is all for this V equal one. All this is with interaction. So and the question is, why is it this, why this, this happening? I mean, can we understand a bit more about it? And then we can essentially check whether eigenstate thermalization is occurring or not. So what is shown here now is the difference. We calculate the full spectrum, the observable in each eigenstate, and then compute the difference between that and the microcanonical prediction. And we take the eigenstate with the highest, the biggest difference from the microcanonical, okay? So this is the worst case. And now we plot that as a function of system size. And again, what you see is that, you see, if you are in the delocalized phase, this difference goes to zero. So this is equivalent to telling that the width that I was showing you before is going to zero as you increase the system size. And then once you go into the localized phase, you see that it's flat. So it's like this support that you were seeing there is not changing with system size. Okay, so all this is, yeah? Right, I mean, this delta is in different cases, different things. So this delta here is the difference between the infinite time average result for the observable and the microcanonical prediction. Pardon? What is? The vertical is that difference, right? Is this relative difference? Oh, and okay, sorry. This n is the momentum distribution and this is the structure factor. So, yeah. Right. So and here is the same momentum distribution and structure factor. Okay, so, and even if you average, and what is shown here is really the average of the differences, you get something that is very similar. So the average goes to zero for in the delocalized phase and something finite in the localized phase. Okay, this is all very nice, but once you do all this, you get a bit frustrated because it's very hard to make predictions about scaling. How are these things really scaling with system size and so on? So, and at this point, we just gave up on the non-integrable case, and then we decided to study integrable system. And the integrable systems are nice because they are a bit more, may look a bit more complicated because you have more constraints, but then you can study much larger system sizes. B equal to zero? Oh, the interaction equal, well, if you do the interaction equal to zero for a many-body system, essentially this is one everywhere, right? So this is a one-particle statement. Once you put many particles, since they are independent, it's also going to be Poissonian on this side, OK? If you do integrable, integrable, I mean, the first thing is that here you don't see anything, right? It's going to be one everywhere. Right? You understand that? Because you see, this result is for one particle, right? What I'm showing you here is result for many particles. Now, these many particles, you are putting that they are not interacting, right? So they are independent from each other. So the level spacing is going to be Poissonian everywhere. So there is no, here you are not going to see any transition. Then wait for my next, right? So yeah, if you want, for that particular model, you're not gonna see, but now we can look at the integrable case. So there is a. Uh-huh. Right, I mean, you see the alpha equal one and you see already here is something in between and these are finite systems. So that's why I was saying that interesting stuff may happen here for like if you have a thermodynamically large system, but we cannot answer what's happening. That's what is happening, yeah. But you know, it may be something funny if you do something that is much larger. Yeah. And actually you will see now for this other case. Okay, this is because we wanted to do non-integrable systems, okay? Now we can go and then like restrict ourselves to a model that is integrable. And the model that essentially we consider here is something that you probably know very well, is the Audrey-Odrey model, but now with hardcore bosons. Okay, so you see, this looks like a quadratic Hamiltonian, but there is the constraint of the on the bosonic creation annihilation operators, and that makes the model non-trivial. So essentially, and this sigma here is incommensurate, this is the inverse golden ratio. So this model is known to have a localization delocalization transition for this lambda c equal to 2j here. Okay, so now the systems are much larger. So the dynamics that I'm going to be showing you is for a system with 1,000 larisides. Okay, so this is larger than probably what experimentalists can do. But okay, important is density is like free fermions, right? But the momentum distribution function is very different from free fermion. This has interactions, right? And you see it here that at t equals zero, and now I'm going to show you result, for example, a quench that starts at lambda equal to zero, the homogeneous case, going into the delocalized phase, and this one is going into the localized phase, right? Because you see that. So all eigenstates beyond these are localized, all below are delocalized. And you see that at t equals zero, the momentum distribution function has this bosonic shape. So it's very different from a Fermi distribution. And this observable here is the eigenstates, the eigenvalues of the one particle density matrix, what people call the occupation of the natural orbitals. So this tells you about coherence. This tells you about what experimentalists are going to see, and this also about what experimentalists are going to see. So this is the density in the first 10 sites. And this is a system with 1,000 larisides. So let's take a look at how this looks. And I'm comparing here, the time average is the red. Each time state is the blue, and the initial is the black. So now the time scale here is changing exponentially, actually. Okay. So you see that the decay is going to go faster and faster when you pass 10. And then the question is, how is this happening? So essentially, now let's take a look at this. So I cannot touch the laser here, so it stops. But now let's take a look at what is happening in the momentum distribution. So you see, essentially, after some time, this momentum distribution function is okay. So here, so it's becoming very similar to the time average, and actually, it shows very small fluctuations about it, right? And now let's take a look at the disorder. This is already very similar to the time average, and you're going to see as time passes, this is going to become also very similar. So the only observable in which we will see at very long time large fluctuations is the density. And here you have a violation of what Jens was telling you yesterday. Okay, so this local observable, and I'm going to show you some scaling. So this is, you will see, now very long time, this is very close, very close, very close, very close, and this is crazily fluctuating. I mean, of course, this is one system size. I'm going to show you the scaling, right? So now you can say, wow, but this is because you started from the delocalized phase. So we can also start from the localized phase, and now let's see what happens. I mean, notice here that the initial occupation of the natural orbitals already tells you that this system is localized. You see how it's very close to one. Okay, so these bosons are really like localized in real space. But if you look at the dynamics starting from the, you see, deep into the localized phase, it's essentially very similar to what we get starting from the delocalized. Okay, so the initial state is not the important thing here. Okay, that's all I want to emphasize with this plot, with this evolution here. So now we can be more quantitative and let's get back to these normalized differences. Okay, I mean, this is a bit crowded, but what is shown in here is this normalizes this difference for three system sizes, 10, 100, 1,000. And this is for the density, this is for the momentum distribution function, and this is for the natural orbitals, okay? Now, this row is from 0 to 1. This is within the delocalized, from 0 to 2, the critical point, and from 0 to 4, the localized phase. What is it that is important for you to see here? That this normalizes difference between at the observable each time and the time average, it goes decreases with increasing system size for all observables in the delocalized phase. Here in the at the critical point, there were some questions, what happened? You immediately see this slowing down. The relaxation is very slow. You see that you never reach a plateau like in all the other cases. Okay, so funny stuff happens there. I'm going to show you power laws are different and so on. And now look at the localized phase. So momentum distribution function, this non-local observable, if an experimentalist does the experiment, then it's going to look relaxed. So essentially, at each time, the difference between the observable and the time average is going to zero. Okay, but if you look in the experiment to the density, you see that as you increase system size, this mean value is not going to zero. Okay, so this is an observable that has failed to relax. Okay, so now let's take a look at these scalings, and the scalings, this is the same for the other case, so I'm gonna skip it. You see that, you know, there is no qualitative difference here. But now we can look at the scaling. So how this difference at very long time, what I call this infinity, scales with system size, okay? And these are the quenches to the localized, you see 0 to 1, 8 to 1, critical, and to the localized phase, 0 to 3. And the fits are done for systems with larger that are larger than 100. So in all the cases, you see a power law, and the exponent essentially is 1 over the square root of the system size, of the volume. And this is very interesting because that's what you expect for a, you know, an observable, a local observable, that in all the system relaxes to the average, and the fluctuations between different parts are completely uncorrelated. Okay, and this is very different from what you expect for integrable systems. In integrable systems, you expect this to decrease exponentially with system, I'm sorry, for non-integrable systems, you expect this to decrease exponentially with the system size. Now, this is identical to what happens with the momentum distribution function at the natural orbitals in the delocalized phase. So you see the delocalized phase for this observable, in the localized phase, the localized phase for this observable is essentially doing the same than the delocalized phase. While the density here, you see that it's just flat. Oh yeah, I mean essentially we look at that. It's a much harder question because you see here these fluctuations. But if you believe that this is power law, and you believe that this is power law, then it's power law with system size. The time that you have to wait to reach that is power law. How time scales? Oh no, I haven't checked that. Yeah, that I haven't checked. Right. Yeah, that's an important thing. And here it's a bit complicated because of all these fluctuations. So, but we look into that. It was very difficult just to make a statement of what the exponent is going to be. But this is an important question. Yeah.
So the idea here is that in the
We haven't spoken about thermalization because this is just about relaxation. This is whether the system has equilibrated, but we haven't told to what. Okay, that's what I'm going to tell you next. So the next thing that you can do, but yeah, that's all we are saying is that even in the localized phase, these non-local observables, they look relaxed. Okay, but now the question is, what is it that you are relaxing to? And then you can now compare, right, the result for the infinite time average, which is here, these red lines, okay, with the prediction of these generalized ensembles and the grand canonical ensemble. So in all the cases, you see that standard statistical mechanics fails, okay, even though the system has disorder and so on. So even the localized and delocalized, localized. But now, look at the GGE. So essentially, in the delocalized phase, it perfectly describes the density, the momentum distribution function, and the natural orbital. So you see all these features are perfectly described by this generalized ensemble. Okay, and this is, there are a lot of features there. Now, if you go to the localized phase, the first thing is we know that the density doesn't really relax. But, you know, we are theorists, we can just say, okay, let's look at the time average. And the interesting thing is that the GGE also describes the time average here. But now if you look at the momentum distribution function, which was the one that actually relaxed, you see that the time average and the GGE are different. And the same, you see that the same is true for the occupation of the natural orbit. This is the time average and the year. So essentially what we are saying here, and very similar thing happens if you start from 8. So I'm gonna skip that. So what we are saying here is that in the delocalized phase, the generalized Gibbs ensemble is working perfectly. In the localized phase, you have relaxation, but the generalized Gibbs ensemble is failing. Okay, so now this is based on just one result. Now we can do scaling again. And these are the difference, and I remove density because it's less interesting, and you're probably getting tired here. So this is the momentum, the difference between the infinite time average or the momentum distribution function and the predictions of the GGE. These are the GGE predictions for the momentum. What are the conserved quantities? Like the conserved quantities are the occupations of the fermions to which we map the Hartree boson. So, and these are like, yeah, the ones that we are standard L. They increase linearly with system size. So as opposed to exponentially of the Hilbert space, right? So, and now here is this where we can make statements and why this is much nicer than for non-integrable. So if you look at the difference between the infinite time average and, or the long time average and the M is the momentum distribution function. And eta are the occupation of the natural orbit, so the eigenvalues of the one particle density matrix. So in, this is to the delocalized phase. You see that they go to zero, which with increasing system size. And the exponent is consistent with 1 over L. And you see that the grand canonical ensemble just fails. You see that it saturates. Funny stuff happening in the critical point, but now look at what's happening in the localized phase. Essentially, both the grand canonical ensemble and the GGE just saturate, so they essentially don't change with system size. So what we are saying here is that the GGE is essentially like failing. So there is some finite difference, and you increase the system size, it's not going to zero. Okay? So, and then I think that is more or less what I wanted to tell you. So there are some interesting things now to look into in this disorder integrable systems where the GGE is essentially failing. So now let me just conclude. It's very close. So what have I shown you? So essentially in the non-integrable case, no eigenstate thermalization, no thermalization. Okay, the two things come together in the localized one. Delocalized eigenstate thermalization and thermalization in the system. But, and then there is this question, I mean, is the relaxation like power law? That's an important thing to check afterwards. So in the integral case, the localized regime, there is equilibration, but the system is not described by this GGE. The localized regime is very nice. Everything does what it should, so there is equilibration, and is described by the GGE, and this is despite the lack of translational invariant. There were some questions as to whether GGE will break down when translational invariant breaks down, and here we see that it's not. And the critical point is slower relaxation, but we see that for any system size, as long as we reach the relaxed state, the GGE describes the observable after relaxation. And with that, I'm gonna stop and thank you for your attention.
In this localized regime, when you when it equilibrates and the GGE fails to describe them after relaxation, is it clear how many constant motion you would have to add in order to make it? Because that, like, if you add all, then sure, it will be correct. If you add, like, just have as many as you describe here, it's not too few, but I mean, where's the boundary?
Right, that's a very good question. So that we have to investigate. So how many, or maybe we can change the one we are using, right? We are using this occupation of the fermionic ones. So maybe one can still find another set of L that will describe it. So yeah, there are many questions there that, that we have to see and discuss.
Can one look at a quench where you actually go from the localized to the delocalized regime?
The localized, so yeah, this is here.
Oh, no, no, so what I mean is you tune lambda itself, let's say. Suppose you're tuning lambda itself. You're changing the disorder realization, right?
No, no, oh, in this one, oh, okay, so okay. That was for the non-integral. For the integral case, I'm starting, okay, that was my mistake here. So the quench in this case is I start with the ground state of this Hamiltonian, mm-hmm. in the localized or delocalized, and I change the...
So you
I change lambda. Yeah, look at lambda is always changed here from A to 1, from 4, from A to 4.
So do you ever tune through the critical point?
Yeah, this is through the critical point.
And so then would you see some critical exponents coming in, some scaling behavior, or?
This is a selling point, right?
I see.
So here you are like really pumping a lot of energy into the system.
But
so this is not slow.
I see. In principle, you could do some rate and see the critical behavior coming
in
out.
In principle, one could do that. But not what I did, yeah. Or what Christian did.
Are there other questions? There is one more. Just a second. Let the microphone get there.
I got two quick questions. Let me ask the second one first. So how generalizable do you expect this finding to be that in the integrable case, the fluctuations after relaxation is like parallel with the system size? So is it specific to the model that you studied, you expect it to be generalized to more integrable systems?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I could not answer that with certainty, but I expect it to be general for all these free fermionic models.
Right. But well, we don't have any more theoretical understanding of why is it like parallel, but in non-integral cases exponential.
Well, I told you why, how you could think of it. Why is this power law, right? So it's really if you think of the observable, really as being local and fluctuating independently in all the pieces of the system, then you will get this 1/√ of the volume. Okay, but you could say, well, what fails? The same argument could apply to the non-integrable case, right? So why is different there? So, and then this is telling you that there, because this is just like a bound. So there are other things at play that make this to go much faster with the system size. What is the guess? Well, that's I think Markov proved that for the case of when you have a classically
analytically.
But you can ask Mark here that essentially the exponential decrease is expected to be like with the density state, which is increasing with the exponential.
So I have half just also comment or maybe question. The question is how. Fluctuations depends after relaxation, whether can you distinguish between integrable or non-integrable system only just looking on fluctuations, because there are papers, numerical data, which show that fluctuations are the same for, no, I am saying about data. You can agree, you cannot agree, but I am saying about papers and data that they search this and search for integrable and non-integrable, and they search that fluctuations are the same. It was quite unexpected, because whether you have reliable results to claim that there is a difference for fluctuations.
Right, so, I mean, this is very reliable, right? Now the question you can ask is whether I can claim that they are exponential in the non-integrable case for which I only have exact normalization, and there is consistent with exponential, but yeah, we cannot make a strong claim because we have few system sizes. But if we believe in the general proofs, then we are done, right? Because the non-integrable will decrease exponentially, and this one we certainly can show very convincingly that is power law. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's thank Markus and... okay, so the next speaker is